Okay, so it's pretty obvious the topic should be Rosh Hashanah. About time to talk about Rosh Hashanah. Can't keep on delaying. Can't wait another 2 weeks to talk about Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so now hopefully you'll feel it. Okay. So the million-dollar shaila that we're trying to discuss really is, what are we supposed to do for Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, after Rosh Hashanah? Right? So, first of all, there's a general mistake. People, you know, and there's a halacha that on Rosh Hashanah we don't say vidui. Right? You know, there's no vidui on Rosh Hashanah. There's whatever reason, because al tiftach pet satan, you don't want to give the satan an opening. We only say vidui on Yom Kippur. So people think that means that in Rosh Hashanah you don't do tshuva. You don't say vidui. That means there's no tshuva in Rosh Hashanah. But that's a major error, because Rosh Hashanah is a day also for tshuva. Haraya, there's a sari made tshuva. Right? With the 10, two of the 10 are Rosh Hashanah. So obviously Rosh Hashanah is meant to be a day of tshuva. So it's very kedai, you know, even, and I have it, it's kedai to do tshuva before Rosh Hashanah. The Erev Rosh Hashanah for sure, there's no yeshiva, crazy reason, I don't know why, but whatever it is, so that's a good day to try and think of Kabbalahs, whatever you're doing. But on Rosh Hashanah for sure, there's a very big reason to think tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, because the seriousness of the day helps a person do better tshuva. It motivates you, it inspires you. It's also a schus. So definitely sometime during Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, I say also, but Yom Kippur is a little bit harder, because Yom Kippur, there's almost no break. You know, we have a very short break, and people are exhausted during the break.
Vidui is tshuva, no?
What?
Vidui is not tshuva?
Vidui is part of tshuva, but you can have tshuva without vidui. That's what I'm saying, that you see, it says, sorry, made tshuva. So obviously, you're supposed to have tshuva without vidui.
What tshuva is Rebbe referring to?
There's tshuva means in your head that your tshuva is made up of basic tshuva is I feel bad for the past and I'm thinking, I have a plan, I'm planning on changing. That's the basic insight of tshuva. Harata awa avar and kabbalah awa osid. Except normally when you can, part of, you're supposed to also do vidui. Vidui is an expression of the harata. The on Yom Rosh Hashanah, for whatever reason, we don't do vidui. Okay, that's it. That's brought down. We don't do vidui on Rosh Hashanah.
Can you ask for siyata d'shmaya?
You can ask for as much as you want for siyata d'shmaya. Davening, you can daven. You can ask Hashem, help me not to be nichshol in aveiros. That's not vidui. Vidui means I did this and this aveira. You're not supposed to say a vidui. But the tshuva is fine.
That's not part of bakashos.
It could be part of bakashos. What?
I thought we try not to do bakashos or shana.
Who said we try not to do bakashos? I never heard that.
Okay,
so that what?
Sharchu says that vidui is part of tshuva.
It is part of tshuva, but on Rosh Hashanah, you can't do vidui. So we do tshuva without vidui.
Isn't there something that you don't do bakashos because you don't?
Okay, so let's discuss that too. The question is, so the first thing we're saying is that Rosh Hashanah is definitely a day to do tshuva. All Aseret Yemei Tshuva is a day for tshuva. Yom Kippur is a day for tshuva. I'm just saying that Rosh Hashanah lends itself more, because on one hand it's time, and on the other hand, and even some people say, some people say, it's a different opinion. You know, some people try not to sleep the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Some people do. Okay, it depends on your minig. Maybe you people learn the Mishnah Berurah, whatever he says there. So this is time. And, it's an inspiring day. So you should take advantage. Person should take advantage of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay. The other thing that is clearly a main factor of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is Tefillah. Tefillah, says Gemara, says Tefillah, Staka, Tshuva, Mavir, as well as Gzeira. So Sfira is a major thing, and that's what we do. A good part of the day, we do Sfira. So the question is, which is a very good question, is are you allowed to ask your bakashas for your own personal needs on Rosh Hashanah? Yom Kippur, I guess, I don't know if there's such a shayla, but it's the same question. So like most things, there's a machlokes, like in most things. However, the vast majority, if you look in the Rosh Shlomo, Zalman Orbach, in the Halichas Olam, I think it's Halichas, I forgot what it's called, Halichas, I forgot what it's called, Halichas something. And the Isha Yisrael, it's on Tefillah. The vast majority hold, and for sure, I that you are allowed to make bakashas in Russia, different than Shabbos. Shabbos, you don't make bakashas, because it's Shabbos. But Rosh Hashanah is a special need. The way the Reshiva said it is, the way the Reshiva said it, and maybe with a little bit more machmer than some people, but we have time with Reshiva, so I'll say, follow the Reshiva Shita, that he said there are 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Now, there is the most machmer Shita that most people do not hold of, that Rosh Hashanah is also Yontif. And since Yom Tov is like Shabbos, she can't make bakashas either day Rosh Hashanah. But that is not the Mekubal approach. And I'm not saying no one holds that way. I think Rav David Feinstein told me that. I once spoke to him. But that's not the Mekubal approach in most of the Sfarim.
This year Shabbos is the first.
Right, this year Shabbos is the first. So the way the Reshiva holds is that on the second day Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah is B'mechol, you can ask, and you should ask, any bakasha you want. For everything, gashmias and ruchmias. And it's actually wrong if you don't ask. Because in the, I should have photocopied it, but I didn't, I forgot. It's in the Shema B'ni, but I don't know why people don't have the keys. But it's in the end of the Rosh Hashanah, in the Siddur Agra. Siddur Agra is a very beautiful Siddur. It's put up by one of the Talmidim, Rav Yisrael Salanter. It's called Siddur Agra because he puts Likutim from the Gra, but it was put out really by Tam Rav Yisrael Salanter. So he has there an introduction to the Tzvira of Rosh Hashanah. And he quotes an Avudraham. And Avudraham is a Rishon, asked the Kasha, why Chazal were not nisaking any Tzvitas in Rosh Hashanah basically for yourself. Most of the Rosh Hashanah davening, except for a few little things in a Tzachreinu, Sefer Chaim, but most of it is for the general Gula, for the Mashiach, but not for particular Bakashas. So he says, because it's the Avudraham, because when we do Averis, we cause Imo Anochi Bitzara, and we cause Hashem also to, so to speak, has to suffer with us. So if a person would be on the right madrega, he wouldn't worry about himself. He would worry about, he would feel so bad for the sorrow that is causing a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the Chazal, when they wrote the Shmona Esrei, they were misaking it for people who are on the proper madrega, that they care more about the guilty, that I caused Hashem so much sorrow, so your misbato that Hashem saw should go away. So the Geula should come, and then Hashem's tzar should go away, rather than care about your own tzar. That's what the Avudraham says. Says Rav Yisrael Salanter, quoted in the Siddur Agra, that that's only if you feel that way. But if you don't feel that way, so then you're a phony. You're trying to fake out a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Look at me, the great tzaddik that I am. I only care about Hashem, and I don't care about myself. And therefore, basically, Rav Yisrael says, not exactly clear in the Siddur Agra. So I think the Siddur Agra seems to say, so work on yourself to be a tzaddik. But other people quote Rav Yisrael as saying that, therefore, you should say your own tefillahs, because otherwise you're a hypocrite, you're phony. What? So what Rav Yisrael said, and this is many people, Rav Yehuda Lapian quotes this, and there's a Sefer Didoy Reuven quotes it, all in the name of Rav Yisrael, that at the after Yehuda Ratzon, There are two Yira Ratzins in the Shmona Esrei, many people say. We say one Yira Ratzin right after Vorech Hasama Yisrael B'Shalom, and then we say it Okai Nitzur, and then at the end we say a second Yira Ratzin. So between the first Yira Ratzin and the second Yira Ratzin, we add our own Bakashas. So Rabbi Yisrael said that you should add your own Bakashas on Rosh Hashanah, because if you honestly felt that you're an Adin, how could you not ask for yourself? If you don't ask for yourself, it's a simon that you don't feel that's the Yom Adin. Adam, I'm not asking for myself because I care only about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't feed me a bunch of baloney. You're not on that madrega. So if you really felt it's the Yom Adin, you would ask for yourself. The Shaila is, but what happens on Shabbos? Shabbos, you can't have bakashas. So the Rashiva answered that in Shaina Chinami, on this first day, when Rosh Hashanah comes on Shabbos, you should only have bakashas for Ruchnias. Ruchnias, you're allowed to ask even on Shabbos. However, he said, if you're a yeshiva guy, yeshiva guys always gashmias is Ruchnias. So, but you have to mean it. In other words, you say, Hashem, give me health, because if I can't learn if I'm not healthy. Give me happiness, because I can't learn if I'm not happy. Give me life, because I can't learn if I don't live. Give my parents health, because I won't be able to learn if I'll be depressed. And well, they won't, right? So on Sunday, Yom Rishon, first, second day, Rosh Hashanah, you can, according to Rosh Hashiva, you ask straight for Gashmias. And Ruchnias, obviously. Obviously, you ask for help not to be Nishon and Averis. That's for sure, okay. Help the others. And that's not called vidui. That's 100% mutter. Help to learn Torah. Help not to speak Lashon Hara. Help not to whatever averes you do. Just help to stop. Hashiveinu, avinu tarasecha. Hachizureinu, tshuva shleimu lefanecha. That's fine. But according to Rashiva, on the first day, you should only ask for ruchnias. But your gashmias becomes ruchnias. Other people are mako even for gashmias on the first day. But the Rashiva was machmir. Okay.
Daf Kor on the first is on Shabbos.
What?
Is that Daf Kor on the first is?
Yes. Only because of Shabbos. What?
On weekdays, first and second on Sunday.
Yes.
What was Rabbi saying before about that? On the first day, you shouldn't even make personal requests.
No, I didn't say that.
Meaning
I'm saying that
the first day
this year, because the first day is Shabbos, only this year. This year is complicated because on Rosh Hashanah, at least according to Rashiva, you can make all bakashas, gashmias and ruchnias, and you're supposed to. It's a chisarin of it's a sign that you don't take it seriously if you don't make bakashas. But to this year, because it's Shabbos, and there's a din that on Shabbos you're not supposed to make bakashas, so except for ruchnias, so on Shabbos, which is the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you should make your bakashas for ruchnias. But you can still ask for gashmias, providing that you say it for a ruchnias, which is true. I mean, I want to be healthy. Now, there's two reasons I want to be healthy. I want to be healthy because I like to be healthy, but I also want to be healthy because otherwise I can't learn. That's also true. So the ma'isa, I can't dive in for healthy for the first reason, but I can dive into healthy for the second reason. So I'll dive in for the second reason. Why not? Just because I can't dive in for the first, I mean, I shouldn't dive in for the second.
Is that Shabbos only applied by Rosh Hashanah Shabbos or really any Shabbos?
I think, I assume it's applied by every Shabbos. But anyway, so that's what we're supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah. We're supposed to do tshuva and tefillah. Staka you cannot do on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I'm sorry. Can't give the money on Rosh Hashanah. Even though Essay Daichalos is saying you guys are all a bunch of lamdanim, and you know, but you can't do. I don't know. I don't think we do that in Rosh Hashanah. Because it's a dabra dover probably. I don't know. Okay, I take it back. Appeals are different. Every shul wants appeals. Okay. I
that he wants help.
What?
A person has to say that he wants help to learn or some say help.
No, you say I want help to learn, yeah.
Yeah, so he has to say out loud to learn.
Yeah, why not? Okay, anyway, now I want to get to tshuva, because the question, the million-dollar shayla is, how do we do tshuva? So many, many people know these Maramikaimis. Oh, but and they're misunderstood. So I want to read them over. So those that don't know them, they're fascinating Maramikaimis. And those that do know them, I want to make sure we're not misunderstood. So first of all, there's one of the most inspiring. I think I did this last year already, the Shlomo Kluger. But he's such an inspiring Shlomo Kluger. Everybody has to know this Shlomo Kluger. We did on a Thursday, we already did the Mahabit, who's early, an early Achrin, Mahabit around the 1500s, that Tshuva has partial credit. So Rav Shlomo Kluger just takes that a lot further. Shlomo Kluger was a Gadol HaDor around the 1800s, in the early 1800s, but he was considered one of the big Gadolim, maybe the late 1700s. Okay, so he says as follows, I'm starting from the beginning of the little print. V'nachzor el hakodem. Go back to the beginning. Hamaimer amaskel. Kol Yisroel yeshem chayel gol ma'abo. Right? There's a famous klal. Kol Yisroel yeshem chayel gol ma'abo. And it says chutz, but the chutz are people who are like apikorsim, whatever. Okay, hopefully we're not in any of the chutzim. Oh. Hinei nir elaymer. I have a kasha. The afshesh kan kamer v'shom ba'idam. How can you say kol Yisroel yeshem chayel gol ma'abo? There are many, many people that are v'shom. Right? Yeshiva used to always talk about that in Europe, every town had a town ganav. And he was known that that's his profession. He's the town ganav. And that's what he does for a livelihood. You know, Yanko the ganav. There's an old, you know. So there's a guy, he's not an apikiris, but he's every day he steals. You have people that do other averes, and people that are mizana. People, it says, Ruba begezo miyuta barayas. So miyuta barayas. Is a real meat. So how can you say, Kol Yisroel Yeshem Chayev Kolam Abba? What about the guy who's a Baal Taiva and he goes out and he's Mizana, not just once or twice? So he's pretty bad. How can you say, Kol Yisroel Yeshem Chayev Kolam Abba? So he says the answer is, Mikom Akom Amru Chazal, Yofesh Shoh Achas B'Tshuva Maisen Toim Olam Haseh, Mikom Chayev Olam Abba. That one, a Shoh Achas and Tshuva is amazing. In Kain Vadai, the Mikol Shekain, the Masiyah Magir Ham Chedek Olam Haba over Shoh B'Tshuva, Umaisim Toivim. The Af Rishay Yisrael, and so the person gets Olam Haba for a Shoh of Tshuva. What Shoh of Tshuva? Af Rishay Yisrael, there's not a single Russia in Klai Yisrael that doesn't have tshuva shoachas. Why? Upeprat the kol makom shenemar shoachas avilav dafka shoachas. Shoachas doesn't mean an hour. It means raksman katan muat. It means the slightest split second. In other words, a guy has a split second of remorse. I shouldn't be doing this. I should. That's already. So he says, in Cain, Afino Posh Yisrael Cain. Kmash Kazan Kazal, Posh Yom Leim Chaz. Posh, you also feel bad at doing a virus. Okay, so we're basically saying, we'll stop here, is that there's not, is there, that every Russia in the Klai Yisrael doesn't think they're going to get a tremendous Chedek in Olam Haba. But even the biggest Rishonim, they do enough tshuva that they get Olam Haba. So this is a very much bigger extension of the Ma'abit, that what's their tshuva? A split second, they feel, shouldn't have done it. They definitely don't have kabbalah alaba, right? The guy who's a town ganav, he's not thinking he's going to quit his job. He just, for a split second, he feels, we're getting into this rut. The guy who's, but that enough, that quasi, that 1 second of a partial tshuva is enough to give him an item haba. No, it's not tshuva shleima. It's not tshuva shleima. It's enough to give you item haba. Fakert, he still has a lot of averus. But the question is, everyone knows, in that little, when you see that, the kids, they make the scale, with the mitzvahs and averus, and So it's enough that when you make that scale, the mitzvahs will always beat the averus to a little bit. And therefore, once the mitzvahs beats the averus, you go to Olam Haba. So even the world's biggest Russia, who every day goes out as Mizana and every day goes and steals, his mitzvahs will outweigh his averis because his averis will be decreased because of this second of tshuva that he feels sometime.
He'll still be punished for his averis.
He'll be punished for his averis because he didn't do tshuva shleima. But he's going
to
still get item out. That's still pretty good.
Does it have to be like that over every avera?
He says there's a general feeling. I feel bad. That's right. Works on it for all the averis to some extent. We just like we say our vidui is. We don't stop to think about every avera. I feel bad. I do averis. So it's an amazing Shlomo Kluger, which basically gives a person tremendous iris that every little bit counts, and if you can double it. It counts double, right? If this Rosha Marusha, that Dakis Chika Tshuva that he has, Gadam Oedam Abba, well, if I do twice as much Harat as he does, I'll be twice as good off. If I do 10 times as much, wow, I get, now, again, it still might not be Tshuva Shleim. According to many people, it's a machlokes in the Shari Tshuva, those who are beginning Shari Tshuva, whether if you did Tshuva 1 year, do you do a Tshuva again next year? There's an opinion that says that you should because we don't assume you did Tshuva Shlema. It's very likely, we don't think that we usually do Tshuva Shlema, but there's this degree, and then there's 5, 10 degrees, and then there's higher and higher and higher. To say 100% perfect Tshuva, okay, I don't know. But 90% is pretty good, 80% is pretty good, 70% is good, even 50% is pretty good, right? So we whatever drop of you add is better. Okay.
What about the people that are chutz? Why don't they?
Because most of them don't apply to you.
Why don't they, if they have a little remorse?
Because these people aren't in that included, because they're yotzam. Because what the people that are the chutz are yotzam miklal klal Yisrael, and this. Gift of Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chedek Lam Abba was only given to Klal Yisrael.
The
other half. I know there's a special gift of Ginem Olam Haba when you do tshuva. There's a gift of Olam Haba. They might know. I didn't say not like that. They do the same amount of tshuva, but they don't have the gift of Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chedek Abba. There's a special gift. We don't say kol goy yeshem chedek lam haba. There's a special gift that Hashem gave Kol Yisrael that with a certain, when they have this skill exactly like that, they get olam haba. A goy to get olam haba is much harder. There is such a thing as chasidei umos olam get olam haba. You have to be chasidei. But a Jew, you don't have to be a chasidim. So there's Hashem, whatever it is chesed, why is it fair? I can't answer. I don't know. But Hashem gives Olam Haba sooner to Klal Yisrael because Klal Yisrael are considered his banim. There's some kind of chavivis. So Kol Yisrael, Yeshem Chayter, even according to the many people, if a baby dies after childbirth, he gets some chedek in Olam Haba. So there's an automatic thing that a Klal Yisrael gets a chedek in Olam Haba. You can lose it if your scale is the wrong way. People that are chutz are not in the Klal of Yisrael. So they're not the Klal of Yisrael, so they don't get the Kol Yisrael Yeshem Rabah.
They didn't mitzvah
told them. No, they're like mitzvahs.
Well, what does that mean?
All Rishon also do some mitzvahs?
Yeah, no.
But if someone has more of Averis and mitzvahs, so they don't know Olam Haba?
That's what he's saying, that if they would not go to Olam Haba, yes. Except he says that never happens.
Nope.
Theoretically, if he would never do tshuva, he would have more averis and mitzvahs. He would not go to Olam Haba, and he would get all this char of his mitzvahs and Olam Haba.
Yeah. Hashem pays you for everything you do.
So he gets his char in Olam Haba.
But it turns out that he would have
done it in Olam Haba. He gets everything in Olam Haba. Yes. Mm-hmm. It says in the pasuk, Mishanei Nesoinu, but the.
It's because he's been dead in Russia?
I know, but he says it's not true. He says that every Russia does tshuva.
He does tshuva.
But so therefore, it wouldn't have been. But theoretically, if you had a person who's not doing tshuva, which he said doesn't exist, he said maybe in the Eder it does exist, certain, whatever. But a normal case doesn't exist. So in a normal case, it doesn't exist. But if theoretically, if he went to tshuva, then he would have to get his char namaza.
How's Rabbi applying this to Yom HaDin?
I'm just showing how easy tshuva works. And you would think that this guy who's Yanko the Ganov, he has a split second of remorse, but he's still planning on being a Ganov. He's still planning on being Mizana. You know, he's not changing his life. He never doesn't have enough. When a normal Rasha does not have a charata that he's going to then he changes, you know, and then he switches back. He has a split second of remorse. You know, it's a shame that I, you know, it's a shame that I got into this job. You know, and that is enough to have such a profound effect on his averus. So it gives us encouragement. Many people think it's like, you know, that all that my you know, a guy goes ahead and does some kind of tshuva on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and then Motzei Yom Kippur, he's nichshol. Oh, my tshuva was worthless. It was fake. It wasn't. You see this guy? This guy, he's more than doing the avera Motzei Yom Kippur. He's doing it the next second, and it still works to some extent. So there's no. It's a very good. Zero is not to get down. Rabbi okay, said, wait, the guys said, don't let me talk.
Rabbi said before that you can almost make like a kabbal chomer, like just like the God of has one second of harata. So to by us, if we have more harata, then how much better will we be off? How do we generate more harata for ourselves without getting depressed?
Okay, I don't know. I can't answer that question. You generate because you know that you're going to get more, that the more, every ounce of charata or kapalah asid will get you forgiveness. So the knowledge that you're getting forgiveness with this charata or kapalah asid very often makes you happy instead of depressed. Because deep down we know we have these averas. So if I know Yom Kippur is what it's supposed to be, one of the happiest days of the year, right? It's a Gemara in Tainus that says that they were the happiest days of the year was Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, I think, right? And that the reason why Yom Kippur is such a happy day is because you get forgiveness. So you're a person supposed to feel after Yom Kippur, you're supposed to celebrate. Many people, the Gra says that Sukkot is a celebration of Yom Kippur. Sukkot is the Sman Simchaseinu. But what are we celebrating? So this is unclear. But according to the Gra, the celebration of Sukkot is Yom Kippur, except that when you make a big party to celebrate, it takes a few days to make the party. So you're so excited after Yom Kippur, so you want to make a big party. So you wake up 5 days to get your Sukkah and Lulav and everything, and then you celebrate. But the celebration of Sukkah is because I'm thrilled. And you're supposed to have a bitachon. There's a halacha. You're supposed to have bitachon. We're supposed to get a haircut before Rosh Hashanah if you need a haircut. Or shave and you put on clean clothes and yontif. Because we're supposed to have basic bitachon that the probability is that we're coming out ahead of the game. In other words, I'm going to come into Rosh Hashanah with 10,000 averis. I just came Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to walk out with 5,000. That's gewaldic.
Is that the opinion that we go like?
Yeah.
So didn't represent spoiler the opinion of the Shari Tshuva, that there's a tzad in the Shari Tshuva that we don't hold that we did traditionally on this?
Right. So I said from 10,000 to 5,000 is not Jewish Shema. I'm saying I'm definitely going to, I'm almost guaranteed I might go walk out with zero, but I owe right now $1 million to Hakadosh, and I'm going to get off $500,000. I'm going to get off $750,000. That's amazing. So I'm jumping for joy.
Come out of Rosh Hashanah. According to the
Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, yes.
According
both.
To
the, but the can we can I move on?
According to this Bar Mokko, guys in yeshiva shouldn't be worried at all.
I didn't say they shouldn't be worried because even if you get, let's say you get 75% off, you still have 25%, and mitzvahs and averis don't cancel out, which is a chesed. So you're not good because you still got 25% of your averis, and you don't want to get punished for 25% of your averis. So you still want to daven, and you still want to try and knock that 25% to 10%, whatever, because the more you can knock it down, the better. Every aveira is a serious business, and even 10% of an aveira is serious business. Okay. Anyway, can we now let's get to that, what I wanted to talk about, which we didn't get to talk about, is that how do you go about do tshuva? So everyone knows you're supposed to make a kapala. The problem is, how do you make there's if you read these Maramakim, like seeing, I see we don't have time. You read the first Maramakim, such a Gevaldik Maramakim. I like it so much. It's Rav Hoffman. He says he came to Rav Isaac Sher. Now he says he was 23, not a baby. And he was 23, he was a much bigger Talmud Chacham at 23 than most of us. So he comes to Rav Isaac Sher, Erev Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Isaac Sher says, did you make any Kabbalahs? He says, of course. Right? I'm reading it in English. And I even wrote it down, because you're supposed to write down your Kabbalahs, because if you don't write them down, first of all, writing it down makes it more solidified in your brain. And second of all, that's why when later during the year, when you start to forget, you can read them over and remind yourself. So you're supposed to write down your Kabbalah. So you can't do that in Rosh Hashanah, but that's why Erev Hashanah is very good. So he says, yes, I wrote it down. Erev Hashanah, I wrote it down. So if Isaac asks him, hey, Mata Marsha, do you let me look at it? He says, of course. So then Rav Isaac asked him, did you test yourself to see that you can do these Kabbalahs? In other words, you know, you make a Kabbalah, you know, are you sure you're going to stick to it? So Rav Shlomo, he said, no, I didn't. The Kabbalah is for next year. I didn't test it. I think, you know, logically, it's a great Kabbalah. So Rav Isaac said, if you look at the last Rav Isaac, Kabbalah, Adam, Mikabel, Raklakash, Ubaydek, Minasa. You only make a Kabbalah after you checked yourself. Come upon him many times. He wrote me to check that you can do it. Only after you know you can do it. For Rav Isaac Kuris, Shafa Kabbalah Shili. Right, Gevaldik. He takes his Kabbalah and ripped them up. He's a 23-year-old guy, treating him like a baby. Takes his Kabbalah, ripped them up. Here's your Kabbalah back. I love it. Anyway, but now this is very misleading because it's not like you're saying don't make a Kabbalah unless you can't do it. It doesn't mean exactly that. It means don't make a Kabbalah, meaning there's a power of Kabbalah that is, I heard this from Rav Zuckerman, a Kabbalah is supposed to be, I'm definitely going to do it. By having certain Kabbalahs that I'm definitely going to do, that itself makes you keep it. If you go ahead and make a Kabbalah and then you end up not doing it, you almost wasted the power of Kabbalah, because now in your mind comes next year and you make a Kabbalah. Yeah, I made a Kabbalah, but I don't really have to keep it. Like last year I made a Kabbalah and I didn't keep it either. So last year, 2 years, the last 5 years, when I told the guys, I had a person in Israel, he made a Kabbalah that he's gonna, he came with a whole bunch of non-kosher, I don't remember if it was books or music, I don't remember anymore. And he made a Kabbalah he's going to stop. So he told me he's going to put all his books away in his suitcase. So I said, well, if you want to put in, if you're stopping, why are you putting in your suitcase? Why don't you throw them out? Throw them out? In a week from now, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to want them. And I go, so, you know, should I throw them out, right? So that's not a real Kabbalah. So the when a person makes a Kabbalah has to be stark. But that doesn't mean you can't do non-stark, but just don't call it a Kabbalah. In other words, we have two different things. I speak Lashon Hara all the time, right? That I tell people. I don't daven with Kavana all the time. I have Oivran Sinas Chinam all the time. I have Yehurim Roim, right? I have a stock list. I have this, I have that. I to say a Kabbalah, I'm never going to be Nichsho again, is probably not true. I can make a Kabbalah, I'm going to try. That's okay. I'm going to try. But I'm not saying it's a Kabbalah. Because I'm not, I don't want, because then I might not keep it. It's a plan. I'm going to try. Maybe it'll last for a week. Maybe it'll last for 2 weeks. Maybe it'll last for a month. Probably fizzle out at some point. I don't know when. Maybe it won't fizzle out. Then I'll keep on going. Maybe sometimes you never know. Sometimes you get siyata d'shmaya and it goes. But I kabbalah, I'm not making, because I can't say 100% sure. But certain things I can make a kabbalah. Right? Where's Avram Barry? Right? Where's my kabbalah? Right? I'm going to make an Asher Yotzer from Asher Yotzer sheet. Okay? Then I can make a kabbalah.
Maybe we said kabbalah.
Right. Okay. This is easy. Especially because it's in my wallet. So there's no... It's easy. So I can make a kabbalah, and I can be confident that I'm going to stick to it. And then you're not wasting your power of kabbalahs. And then what if so you're in a situation where, you know, you don't have your sheet, once a year it happens, you know, you don't have your, you know, Shabbos, you don't have it on you, on your yards. So then it's once a year, and you know you made a kabbalah, so you spend 2 minutes walking to get a sitter. Because it was a kabbalah. Kabbalah I can't break. Right? You know, in other words, kabbalahs are on a level. You make a kabbalah on something, what they're saying like this, is you do a two-prong attack. You make, I'll try on a lot of things. I'll try to have more kavanah in my davening. I'll try to not to speak Lashon Hara. I'll try not to have erhurim. I'll try not to do istakhlis. And you're serious about it. But then there's a second attack that, and I'm 100% about these things. Why is that so important? Because we want the highest level of tshuva is a real kabbalah. And as strange as it sounds, a 100% kabbalah on making Asher Yatzar is a better kabbalah than I'll try not to speak Lashon Hara. Why? Because I'll try not to speak Lashon Hara, is I'll try, and it's very likely in a month from now you'll forget that you're trying and you'll fall back. But 100% kabbalah that I'm going to say the Asher Yatzar, that's just my example from the sitter, I'm not going to fall back from. And since we have a rule that mitzvah gereres mitzvah, it's very possible that by going up and davening, saying Asher Yatzar v'kavana, in 25 years from now, because of that, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara, because mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Well, I have a better chance at stopping Lashon Hara by making a kabbalah on the Asher Yatzar chayk v'lo yavur, than by saying I'm going to try not to speak Lashon Hara.
Isn't trying also a mitzvah?
It is a mitzvah.
So why not be a mitzvah?
But the trying might fizzle out. Because the trying, I'm inspired now. In a month from now, I might fizzle out because it's hard. And then I'm gonna forget or this or that. Because it wasn't a real... I'm just trying. Trying doesn't really have teeth to it. So Memeda, but this... I'm sticking to it, and therefore I raise my level. Once you stick to something, you're really raising your level. And once you raise your level a little bit, the rule in life is that everything is interconnected. The Yisayda Musar, it's a Shmuz in the Chidush Alev, it's a Rabbeinu Yoina in Ovis. But it's in science that if you can get an infection in your toe, and if you don't take care of it, the person can chas v'shalom die, right? Because the whole body is interconnected. So in Musar it's also that way. Everything is connected. So if you improve one area, you improve the other area. So very often the Bali Musar say that, for example, I'll give you an example. There are certain yeshivas. You know, I don't think we are this way. But there are certain yeshivas, especially in Eretz Yisrael, that they allow the guys to do kol davar aser, right? You want to be on drugs, be on drugs. You want to be mezana, be mezana. Just come to Seder and learn. Right? What's the logic of that? Because this way, the guys come out of high school. They have their big yetzaras. They're not ready, you know. But at least they get into learning. And amazing things happen. They get into learning, and 5 years later, they're in the mirror. And they're not on drugs, and they're not being mizana, right? Because that's when you move up in one area, It helps everything else.
Why doesn't improving a little bit in Lashon Hara?
Because it's not lasting. It's not a real improving. It's only lasting for a week or 2 weeks. But I want a lasting improvement.
Only lasting causes Mr. Garrett's mitzvah?
Much more. You raise your level. You really raise your level. So these Baal Tshuva, these yeshivas, the guys do raise their level. Now they're really getting into learning. That's a big raising their level. And Memeda, at some point, they're going to stop all the other Averis. So Yeshiva used to give the marshal,
It's not just Brosi Yezra Tzara.
Even, it's Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah. It's even without that. It's because everything is interconnected. And if you improve in one area, you ought to, so maybe if my raya is not a good raya, you shrugged out my raya. But that's the Ashkafa is, Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah. If you improve in one area, it automatically will help you improve in another area. Rav Yisrael Salanter says, the famous Rav Yisrael Salanter, that what do you have to, there's a concept called Begeder Oysa Tshuva, right? I'm sure, I hope you people heard that one. The Begeder Oysa Tshuva, Rav Shiva used to call it that. There's a guy, the worst guy in the major leagues is only a drop better than the best guy in the minor leagues. But he's a world apart because he's on the major leagues. The other guy's in the minor leagues. So how do you get from the minor leagues to the major leagues? You have to cross a line. There's some invisible line that you cross from the minor leagues. That was Rashiva's Masha, by the way. From the minor leagues to the major leagues. It could be some Daki Dakas, because there's like, you go from 64 to 65, right? 64 is flux. So there's some invisible line. So how do you want to get to a line of the Geder Oysa Tshuva. If you get into the line, Rav Yisrael says, if you get in the line of Begeder Oysa Tshuva, you're judged completely different than if you're not Begeder Oysa Tshuva. How do you get into the Begeder Oysa Tshuva? Oh, there's a guy that's working on himself. There's hope. So Rav Yisrael says, what do you have to do to be in the Begeder Oysa Tshuva?
Learn
Musar. That's all. You make a kabbalah, I'm going to learn Musar. That alone. That's it. He says the Sefer Rav Hoffman, he explains that you're driving and you're going the wrong direction and you're 100 miles away from where you're supposed to be. And all of a sudden you realize, oy vey, and you make a U-turn, you're ready to gather Oysa Tshuva. Because you're on your way, you're on the route, you're going the right direction. You're 100 miles away, on the way. That's called Begeder Oysa Tshuva. So the Begeder Oysa Tshuva is when you have something solid. We want something besides that. You know, people always, my big problem is, my biggest Avera is, my example, I speak Lashon Hara all the time. I'm Mr. Yenta, speak Lashon Hara. I love talking Lashon Hara, and I know that's my biggest Avera. So, of course, I'll make a Kabbalah, I'll try. Obviously, I'm not going to just ignore it. But at the same time, I'm nervous that saying I'm going to try is not going to last that long. Because I have this tremendous taiva for Yetzer Hara. And then comes after Sukkot, I'll probably even forget that I made up. But I don't know, I'll try. Hopefully I'll manage, hopefully. Hopefully I'll cut down a little bit. Even if I cut down once or twice, it's also great. But besides which, I'm going to find my teeny weeny kabbalah. Maybe the kabbalah will be, I'm going to learn 5 minutes extra after nights, after Ma'ariv. I'm going to learn Mishnayos Yomi. I'm going to, you know, something really easy, and then that's going to raise my madrega, real, and then mitzvah gereres mitzvah. And then once I'm mitzvah gereres mitzvah, in 25 years, hopefully, then it's very likely I won't be speaking Lashon Hara, I'll be much on a higher level. So that's in many ways, that's a better tshuva for Lashon Hara. It's like the marshal that you're trying to break into a house, and the door is locked, what are you supposed to do? You go behind, you go around the back and climb in through the window. You don't smash and break, keep on pushing the door. The door is locked. What's wrong with you? You know, use it. Now, it could be not restraining you. Maybe you could. If you're strong enough, you can break down the door. But if you see you can't break down the door, you look for a window. So you look for the back door. So I have this tremendous Yetzirah. And then, okay? Very strong Yetzirah. I try to stop many, many times, and it's been very difficult. So, of course, I make a kabbalah. I'm going to try and stop. I'm going to try and minimize it. Maybe I'll minimize it a drop. Hopefully, I will. But it's a very, very hard Yetzirah. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go through the back door. I'm going to get a drop more into learning. I'm going to get a drop more into davening. I got and mitzvah gereres mitzvah. So
that's bechal Yisrael is gedor teshuva.
What?
That's bechal Yisrael is gedor teshuva.
Cool.
That's bechal Yisrael is gedor teshuva.
Even better. Rabbi Yisrael said, like, just learn Musar. I'm even more than learning, but I'm doing something practical.
Oh. Why did Rabbi Yisrael say? Why did Rabbi Yisrael say Musar?
Because that's working on all aspects.
Stop, isn't?
But this is just like stop on mitzvah. Like
what?
This is like.
Because we hold the Rabbeinu Yoina, which I don't have time to tell everything in 1 second, I'm already after too late. The Rabbeinu Yoina says that everything is interconnected.
Stop, isn't every guy...
What?
Stop, isn't there a guy in Shiva who's learning Musa every day, isn't there already together as a Shiva?
Okay.
So that means there's levels and levels, though.
There's levels and levels, yeah.
But the guy we saw didn't know.
First of all, I'm not sure every guy in Yeshiva is learning Musar every day.
Guys, he's not learning Musar every day. He's in Yeshiva. He's already on the Gedor Yeshiva. He's trying to be the best.
Okay,
so
maybe.
A guy can be making a Kabbalah to not to try to work on not having a Hurim Nine as long as in his Kabbalah he's saying all Hurim Mishnah Yomi after Night Seder.
He said like this.
And
it has like this.
Direct at all.
I feel terrible. First I have a little Harata. Yeah. Harata you need. I want to do tshuva on this Hurim, okay? I have Harata. I feel bad that I have this bad habit. But it's a very bad habit. I tried stopping a few times. And I saw I wasn't so successful. I maybe say stop for a week, then I went back, stopped for a week, went back. Now, could be eventually I'll stop. So I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again because you never know. Maybe this time I will be successful. And even if I'm not successful, at least I'll minimize it. Minimizing even, the Chofetz Chaim famous line, it's kedai to learn the whole Sefer Chofetz Chaim, so you speak one less time Lashon Hara. So I'll try and minimize it, maybe one less time. Right? That's great. You should definitely do that because that shows that you care about it. If you say, I have Yehurim, but I'm not going to do anything about it, then it shows you don't really care. So your Kabbalah is, listen, it bothers me that I have Yehurim. I'm going to try and do something even right now because it bothers me now. What I'm going to try and do, I'm going to try not to be Nichshol. I'm going to try and think I'm not to be neutral. I'm going to try and figure out what the stimulus that caused the Yehurim and avoid the stimulus, right? Whatever it is.
Right?
No, but it's not a Kabbalah. It's not a Kabbalah. It's trying. But because I don't want to risk making a Kabbalah, because if I make a Kabbalah and then I flunk, which is possible, then next year when I make a Kabbalah, I'm not going to take it seriously. I used up the power of Kabbalahs. So I'm trying. I'm not. You can use the word I'm making a Kabbalah to try, okay? But that's almost like a
guy makes a Kabbalah to do
meaningless statement. What?
If a guy makes a Kabbalah to do Mishnah Yomi with the Kabbalah that this should help with my Urim Rhyme,
right.
It's going to be in Shemayim that said this guy did a Kabbalah to stop the Urim Rhyme.
Yes.
You
don't even have to have that. You're saying, but you can say to all my Averis. I have 25 Averis. I don't just have a Hurim Rum. I got a Hurim Rum and Lashon Hara and Brach HaMatawas and Sinas Chinam. I got a list from here to there. Right? And so I got so many Averis. So I say I'm making a Kabbalah to make my Asher Yatzar from a sinner. And then that means I'm going up. Because right now, my Asher Yatzar, I skip every third word. I'm probably not Yaitzi. And now I'm going to go make that Kabbalah, and I'm actually going to be saying Asher Yatzar. Woo! It's a big going up. I'm actually going to be making an Awa Michya. Wow, instead of skipping every other word. I told the guys, when I started making an Awa Michya from a sitter, is that I was 25 years old, and I always made my Awa Michya by heart, because I know Awa Michya by heart. And then I was learning with Rav Shia, with a big gadol, and he used to always put down a plate of cake, but he was a little bit I don't want to say absent-minded professor. So he would tell me to eat, and I'd say, okay, later. And then we would learn, and then he'd never notice that I never ate, and it was great the whole year. Except one Shabbos, someone came in and interrupted us in the middle of learning, so he broke his trend of concentration, and he actually noticed that I didn't eat. So he told me to eat. So I told the guy the story. So he insisted, I have to eat something. So I made a bracha. So then he gave me mussar because I made my bracha standing up. Okay. I made it, then he says, now wait, there's a shot of a shear. You have to eat enough for a gazayas. Okay. And then, okay, now you're not taking our michya. I panicked. 25 years old. I said, I've been making our michya for I don't know how many years. I'll bet. I'm not making an aloe milk out loud, you know. You're gonna let me have it for standing up. I made my bracha rishayna. I said, oh, I like using, I always use a sitter. For, you know, anyway, so you know, if you don't use a sitter, for most people, you know, we think we know it by heart, but I don't know if we really know it by heart, you know.
Wouldn't it be better? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says that if you begin a tshuva, whenever you start learning, when a person starts learning Musar, I have Bishlomo, if someone learns Musar, he's clarifying for himself what is his purpose in this world.
Okay.
So that will motivate him more to serve Hashem.
Okay, so learn Musar too. I'm not against learning Musar.
Like, why is Rabbi suggesting
because I assume you're learning Musar already. If you're not learning Musar, you're not going to have Mikabel to learn Musar. We do hold the Musar. We do hold the learning Musar. Okay, I want to stop because, but look at this other Marimakum. It's a very cute Marimakum from Rav Shadran. It's also very, very, very cute. And okay, Shikayach, everyone.
What did Rebbe say the highest level
of Kabbalah is? The highest level of Kabbalah is to be able to stop and really stop.
Did Rebbe ever say someone should make that Kabbalah?
If so, has the option of, let's say the
dollar. Oh, I forgot. Wait. Don't go away. I forgot to say something. I apologize. I sent everyone out and I forgot. There's a Navardika thing, which is very good. We've been always talking about how certain it's really hard to make kabbalas and keep them, but the verdict has a gaval de gavort that there is one way to make a kabbalah and make sure you keep it, and that is if you do it. In other words, if let's say I have a smartphone and I make a kabbalah, I'm not gonna have a smartphone, and I take my smartphone and smash it with a hammer, you're not gonna get another smartphone, right? So if you can figure out a way. Then the Vardic Musho is that if you have a heavy train and you have a shaky bridge and the bridge can't hold the train, but if you roar up the engine, you can zoom across, and if the bridge falls down afterwards, it's too late because you're already across. So that's the Musho. I don't know exactly, but that was the Musho. The Musho is that if certain things, like Lashon Hara, I don't think how it's going to work, you know, but certain things, you can make a Kabbalah and then do it. So like this example that I had, the guy when he came with all his material books that weren't kosher. If he would take his books and throw them all in the garbage, he's already, even though it's a hard kabbalah, but he did such an action. You know, the guy has a girlfriend and he calls her up before Rosh Hashanah and says, listen, you know, I decided that it's not good for my ruchnias, and do me a favor, I don't want to never want to talk to you again in my life, and if I call you back, do me a favor and hang up on me, because it's really terrible for me and you're destroying my life. Thank you. And, you know, then you solved your problem. You know? No, okay, not okay for the guy. But, right? You know, whatever it is. So, there's an Avarnika line is that certain things, the example I used to tell guys is, make a Seder's learner by Canaric. You're stuck. Rabbi Canaric, Canaric will learn with guys at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you make a sink up with him. He did. He said, guys, 2 o'clock. I don't have a Canaric at 5:30, I think. He was a little crazy. But it was his suggestion. Anyway, okay. There you go.
Everyone would say the best. Let's say a guy's not learning Musar every day because there's Shabbos and the summer and this
okay.
and that. And would Rebbe say that's the best Kabbalah?
No.
What would be
that's
the best
every. That's considered every day. You know, every other day. It's also good Musar.
I'm saying, what would be the best Kabbalah if the guys in Yeshiva already do the regular Musar?
Rabbi, isn't the best Kabbalah being in Yeshiva? If I find that I'm in Yeshiva, I do less Averos.
Okay.
So then I'm just saying my Kabbalah is to be in Yeshiva this year.
But you already did that Kabbalah. Now you want to do more.
I'm saying it's...
So you want to do more?
I was in yeshiva.
What about Noah?
So do something extra now. You ain't did that kabbalah. You guys do it.
You always have to add it here.
Come back.
Ruben, ask my.
Imagine doing.